Hannah.
And I'm Rochelle. And this is Voxbox F1 Pod. And today we're going to mix things up. And y'all voted last week on our episode topic, where we will be doing a Formula 101 on NASCAR versus F1 through the lens of Cars and Cars 2. This was supposed to be more technical, but after watching Cars and Cars 2, we decided that more focus should be devoted to the plot of both films because they are treasures. So we will be inserting information and fun facts about NASCAR and Formula 1 as we go through the movies and review them.
Before we get into the movie, I do want to mention the NASCAR and F1 histories. So NASCAR was actually, it originated during the Prohibition era in the U.S., when alcohol was illegal and there was a lot of bootlegging, like making and distributing alcohol illegally and underground going on. For transporting this illegal alcohol, the bootleggers needed small, fast cars to evade the police. And so that's kind of how people in the South and like the Appalachian region got into small, like race car type vehicles. But then even after Prohibition was repealed, a lot of people in the South still really liked the taste of moonshine. And so drivers were running shine illegally because they wanted to evade taxes. So they still kept this system where they use small, fast cars to get alcohol around. They decided to race one day, and then NASCAR was born.
Hopefully they weren't drinking the moonshine as they started racing. Very American.
Yes, I think it's very emblematic of the culture of NASCAR. I mean, this explains why it's so prominent in the South. It's just like your everyday car. And that's why the term stock car is used, because these are just everyday cars. And, you know, there are some modifications, but really it's just what they had at the time. On the other hand, Formula One originated in Europe, where motor racing was more of a thing in the 1800s. And then between World War One and World War Two, Formula One as an organization got its start and it was more established. And that's kind of the time where Grand Prix were first officially held. They have always been more about actual race cars, not stock cars, which is why brands like Ferrari or Aston Martin are the more prominent cars in Formula One.
And very European in the sense that it doesn't serve a purpose other than to relax
right.
and watch.
Exactly.
A sport. You're not delivering or evading or anything else.
Yes, exactly. So I think those are very symbolic starts and really explain the context in which both these sports were born, which really translates well to Cars.
Cars opens at the Piston Cup where they are racing and Lightning McQueen is the protagonist, who is a hotshot rookie, and he's about to be the first rookie to ever win a Piston Cup. And he is racing against Chick Hicks, a lean, mean, green driving machine.
He is mean. He's the antagonist. He's Lightning McQueen's rival in this film.
And then there's the old one, the one who's like a legend. He is the Fernando Alonso of...
Actually, yeah, because his name is Mr. the King. So like I said, there's no humans in the car. It's just the cars are anthropomorphic. So they're like people. And it's extremely...
Whoa, fancy word.
I'm sorry if I've lost half the audience, but that just means the cars are like people. And it's kind of appalling because in the race, there's crashes where parts, the cars are destroyed and essentially murdered. And it's a lot.
It's like when you see a crash in like an actual race, you like, ooh, that must have hurt. But like you physically see the pain on the car in Cars, which is truly extra traumatic.
They're like grimacing. It's just
like, imagine if the Ferrari car went like, it would be so...
like they all piled on top of each other, and like in a Grand Prix in real life, there's debris, but that's fine. It's just like random parts, but this is like their internal parts.
It's like an arm, a leg, a kidney. What's a safety car gonna do picking that shit up?
Just dance around. I can't. But yeah, I was a bit horrified. Also, that kind of brings in a difference between NASCAR and F1, because the reason why all these crashes were happening is because Chick Hicks bumped into one of the cars or deliberately created like a disaster, which I guess you're kind of allowed to do in NASCAR, or there's just a little bit more leeway as to like what a reasonable bump is.
Basically, NASCAR is glorified bumper cars, whereas Formula One, it's more exposed. So if you bump, and they're much gentler creatures, so if you bump into a Formula One car, that's bad.
You would get a penalty at the very least. Penalties. Yeah.
Yes, and also costs like $2 million to repair whatever crash happens, because things fall off, whereas in NASCAR they're a bit sturdier.
Lightning is a little behind, and to save time, he wants to avoid a pit stop.
Yes,
which is really stupid.
It's really stupid because NASCAR races are much longer than Formula One races. So in a Formula One race, you'd have 1 to 2 pit stops. Although I guess theoretically you could go the bulk of the race without stopping. In NASCAR, it's like a 4-hour race. It's like 300 laps. There's like an average of 6 pit stops a race. So not stop, your tires are completely done. So you need to pit stop.
Yes.
And of course, it backfires.
The thing is, he did do a pit stop, but only to refill on gas, which I guess in NASCAR is what you do. But I'm like, if you're already stopping for gas, just get the tires. It was one thing if he just didn't stop at all. But he stopped and then left, and then one of the pit crew members said, "You need tires, you idiot."
They all quit. Like, you don't want my tires, you don't get me.
I mean, I agree with them.
But it backfired on poor Lightning McQueen, who lost two tires towards the end. And so he
made it with his tongue.
Oh, yes. Well, on two tires.
Yeah, he tied with the other two cars by sticking his tongue out. And they counted that as part of his car on the finish line.
Yes. If only real cars had tongues.
They should all be sticking their tongues out then.
It's a strategy. It's a strategy that no one appreciates.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
They did a 3-way tie, which apparently is unheard of. I don't know if it's actually unheard of, but it's pretty unheard of here. So they had to do an extra race between the top three to see who actually won the Piston Cup.
It becomes even more apparent that Lightning has no teamwork mindset. He's a one-man team. He does not care about his pit crew, but they're kind of essential.
Yes, and so this introduces one of the themes that we get throughout the film, which is that teamwork is essential to motorsports, and it carries over between both Formula One and NASCAR. You need your team, because you need your tires.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't race.
Yes. Also, apparently, I don't know if this is what NASCAR really calls it, but in the movie, a crew chief essentially is like the team principal in F1, so kind of like the team manager, and Lightning was so difficult to work with that two crew chiefs already quit on him, and he didn't have one at the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, he said he didn't need one. But again, it is called a crew chief in NASCAR, but they help you establish strategy, which might seem pointless in NASCAR when you're just going in a goddamn circle, but it's still important because, like, you need to know when to stop, you need to know when to get new tires, you need to work together. And Lightning McQueen thinks that him and speed are all that is necessary. And boy, is he about to learn a tough lesson.
Yep. And the king says,
"But you're stupid. You ain't gonna win unless you got good folks behind you."
Yes, very true, Mr. King. So to do their tiebreaker, they are headed to California, which requires a really long road trip.
Lightning McQueen travels across the state with the only team member he has left, which is his truck, his Mac. Transportation truck.
Yes.
Mac. Yeah, so they drive overnight And Mac falls asleep.
There's a neon car gang.
Yes.
Comes out of nowhere.
And think it's really funny that this truck is asleep.
So they keep messing with it and like bump the truck around. It like makes it so the back of the truck opens and Lightning is a very deep sleeper and doesn't wake up from all this shaking and the door opening. And so he falls out of the truck.
Yep. He's still asleep. And then he suddenly wakes up and is going against traffic and doesn't know what to do. He seems to think he knows that any direction he chooses will take him to California for some reason. But it's not California.
Nope. He ends up in Radiator Springs.
And it's glorious.
It's quite glorious. We're introduced to a cast of characters. We wake up the next day with McQueen in the impound, and that's where we meet Mater.
Mater, his soon-to-be best friend, who is a tow truck, who looks like he lives in Radiator Springs.
Right, he's a rusty.
Yes, he's very rusty. Rusty, buck-toothed tow truck with no hood.
With no intelligence.
Aw, don't be so mean to Mater.
No, but that's... They say it a lot.
They do say it.
I'm just stating
Mater's
a fact.
Mater's unaware, though.
Yeah.
That's true. Mater is
that's
unaware.
Because he has no intelligence. So they end up in court because McQueen, destroyed the town, I guess. And that's where we meet Sally the Porsche.
Yes, who Lightning immediately assumes is some hot babe sent from his, manager's office that is gonna help him get him out of this mess. Little does he know, she's a local.
She's a refurbished Porsche who is the town attorney. She really wants McQueen to clean up and fix the town that he's ruined.
Because, as we later find out, Radiator Springs used to be a hot spot for travelers going across country. And then they built the freeway, and as always, the big men ruin everything, and the small town fell off the map. And no one comes there anymore, so they need a nice road so that maybe more people will stop on by. Lightning McQueen is not happy with this turn of events. He says he is a precision instrument of speed and aerodynamics, which I would like to point out from my research that NASCAR cars are not precision instruments of speed and aerodynamics.
No.
That is a Formula One car.
Right.
He is a hunk of metal that is driving alcohol across this country.
Exactly. We also get to meet the best pair of characters.
Yes.
Luigi is a yellow Italian Fiat, and he runs a tire shop called Casa de la Tires, which is the home of the Leaning Tower of Tires. And he has a little apprentice named Guido.
Guido, who likes to do a pit stop.
Yes.
Likes the pizza.
When Lightning McQueen, because no one knows who he is in this town, because I guess they don't really watch racing. But Lightning McQueen introduces himself as a race car. Then Luigi says,
"Do you know many Ferraris?"
And McQueen says, "No, they race on the European circuit. I'm in the Piston Cup."
And Luigi turns his nose up like the Italians do and said, "Luigi, follow only the Ferrari." Turns around and rolls away.
Yes, it becomes increasingly clear throughout the movie that Luigi and Guido are enormous Ferrari fans.
Yes. And who can blame them?
No, honestly, they're correct.
Who would want to be a fan of Lightning McQueen when you can be a fan of Ferrari?
Exactly.
Which has history and prestige.
Glamour.
And speed and aerodynamics and glamour.
Yes.
And red. Well, so we get another little mini lesson is that the guy who runs the town, basically Doc, says that you can leave, but I will race you first. And then if you beat me, you can go. And Lightning McQueen is like, psh, okay. Does not do the track walk, which, as we know, is essential to race day. He jets off and Doc just chills at the start line until he turns wrong and he falls deep into a canyon.
I guess the moral of that story is speed isn't everything. You need strategy. You need patience.
Quick strategy interlude that NASCAR and Formula One have very different strategies, but they both still need strategy. So NASCAR has two different cars because there's two different tracks, a long track and a short track. So you need different you need a different car for each, but you also need different strategies for each. But you still need to take pit and tire strategy into consideration in both, which Lightning McQueen does neither of, and that's his biggest problem. Anyway, next we find out that Doc's a racing champion.
Yes, he's a Hudson Hornet, which I guess is legendary, and he's won 3 Piston Cups.
Yes, and Lightning McQueen obviously suddenly wants to take all his strategy tips, and Doc tells him to F off.
Yeah, because we learned that, like, at some point towards the end of his career, he got into a big crash, and after he got repaired, he wanted to obviously come back, but his sponsors left him to sign with the rookie car at the time, and so Doc was kind of abandoned by the whole sport, and now he has a grudge.
Anyway, so he calls Lightning McQueen super selfish and that he only does things for himself.
Which is true.
It is true. He needs to, like, take it down a notch and, like, learn some humility. And he does. He fixes the road overnight. And then he stops by every little shop on their street to get fixed. He gets a new paint job. He gets gassed up. He gets this. He gets that. Because he wants to put them and their businesses first. Because Lightning really supports local.
Well, he has to because he's trapped there. But yes, it made everyone really happy, which is most important. And my favorite place he goes is Casa de la Tires, where Luigi and Guido's tire shop is filled with Ferrari posters all over the wall. And Luigi says,
"Grazie, grazie. I'm filled with tears of ecstasy."
Because I guess Lightning was their first customer in years. And they unveil a new set of tires for him called Fettuccine Alfredo White Tires.
Clearly written by an American. He's like, what Italian words do I know? Fettuccine Alfredo.
Yes, the most bland Italian pasta. But very accessible for an American audience.
Yes, they knew who they were catering to.
And this is where fans. Yes, and this is where we learn Guido's hidden talent.
He is the fattest pit stop in history.
You mean fastest?
What did I say?
Fattest?
No, fastest.
Yes. He can do a pit stop in 2.5 seconds by himself. That's unheard of.
Yes, in NASCAR. I think it's heard of.
But elsewhere. No, by himself.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, there's usually one person per tire. Right. You're right.
I don't think
to
this
be fair,
is human.
He is also, he's motorized. Big fan of Guido.
I
and
just
Luigi
think his talent is dying in Radiator Springs.
They're both dying in Radiator Springs. They belong elsewhere entirely.
They belong with the Ferrari team.
They do. They do. And you know, in 2020, Ferrari could have really used them.
Oh, yeah. They needed this pit crew very badly.
So badly. And then disaster strikes emotionally for McQueen and the whole town because the paparazzi find him. By the way, he's been missing this entire time. The entire country's been searching for him. And they finally found him. And how did they find him? Doc called them.
Yeah, Doc wanted McQueen out of his small town, but it's fine because he realizes the impact that McQueen had on their little community. And also Mater, the tow truck, didn't have a chance to say goodbye. And so once McQueen gets to California for this like tie-breaking race, the whole crew ends up there.
And Mater says goodbye, and he's ready to go at that point, but the rest of them have a race to finish.
And actually, Doc becomes his crew chief.
Yes.
Which we love.
And when everyone registers that the Doc Hudson, no, his name's not Doc.
Hudson
the
Hornet.
Hudson Hornet is his crew chief. Man, oh man, do they get looks.
Yep.
But the best part of this movie is Guido showing the other mechanics, who's boss, because they're all laughing at him. They're like, oh, what are you going to do, you tiny little thing? And then Luigi's like stopping him. He's like, no, Guido, you will have your chance. You will have it. And then McQueen pits, and he does it so fast. Those other guys' bumper mustaches just drop to the ground.
Yes. My question, no, though, is why didn't McQueen use the fettuccine Alfredo tires in the race?
He did.
No, he didn't. They were black.
Because everyone was comment. Oh. Well, I guess he was too embarrassed to wear it. Wait, the fettuccine Alfredo tires in a real race.
Well, I was really happy for Guido, but I was very saddened to see the fettuccine was abandoned.
Poor Luigi.
Yes. There's a lot of bumping in this race, mainly initiated by Chick Hicks, who wants to... Yes, he is. And he wants to win at all costs. And he bumps the king, the old car, so badly that he spins and is, like, on the side of the track.
Like, dying. Which, by the way, at least, like, Europeans are polite enough to, like, stop the race when someone's, like, on their deathbed.
Yes.
Not here.
Nope. And so McQueen is about to win the race, but then notices that the king is dying, basically. And so he, right before the finish line, he stops and goes backwards and helps the king finish the race. Meanwhile, Chick Hicks is like celebrating, but no one cares.
Literally no one. He's like, why don't you guys care? And they're like, you're a dick.
Yeah, he nearly murdered someone.
Yes, exactly. For winning.
Right.
And that really, like, you have to have a go-to attitude, but that's a little too go-to.
Yes, but we love seeing this character arc in Lightning McQueen because he gave up the Piston Cup to just help an old-timer out.
Which is beautiful, but not very effective in terms of being a world champion. But anyway.
Well, but the thing is, Dynaco, the biggest sponsor, wanted McQueen to take up their sponsorship because they were so inspired by his kindness. So
yes, they said there's a whole lot more to racing than winning.
At the end of this movie is where we go back to Casa de la Tires. And Luigi and Guido are in there. And all of a sudden, Michael Schumacher, the Ferrari, shows up in their little shop. Like, Michael,
it's actually Michael Schumacher. I checked.
Yes, it really is. I think we were all gonna pass out, but Luigi especially. And he says to Guido,
punch me, Guido, punch me in the face.
So Michael Schumacher, the Ferrari, and his two Maserati show up and they want a new set of tires, and literally Luigi and Guido pass out and tip over.
I don't know if they ever got their Alfredo tires, but
I sure hope so.
Yes, same. So anyway, that was Cars 1. Yep. And we learned that teamwork is everything, and so is strategy. Speed is not all that matters.
Yes, great lessons. So then we move on to Cars 2, which is globalized. We see Aston Martin, that's a British British spy.
And he's on a mission because there's some cars doing bad stuff, and he's trying to find out why. And all these cars, by the way, are on some random boat in the middle of the ocean, and they're all ugly cars. So take from that what you will.
Back in Radiator Springs, so Doc passed away, and so we don't get any more of him in this movie, but we do see Lightning McQueen visit Radiator Springs after winning like 3 or 4 Piston Cups. So he's like legendary at this point, no longer a rookie. Also, Luigi and Guido are there, and Guido's, his off-season job is a bartender making martinis for everybody.
Ooh.
Ooh.
What a great use of his skills.
Yes. So there's this car named Miles Axelrod, and he created a new biofuel called All-in-All, which was inspired by American ethanol, which is a fuel used in NASCAR races. Miles Axelrod creates a whole another championship series called the World Grand Prix, where all the cars racing there have to use All-in-All.
Yes. And it's all the cars from all the motorsports across the world. So that's F1.
I guess like one of the most prominent or like famous Italian race cars, his name is Francesco. And he starts talking shit on McQueen.
Yeah. He says, "When I want to go to sleep, I watch one of his races."
Because, I mean, I guess this is kind of a widely held view. NASCAR drives in circles and is therefore slightly more boring.
Yes. They have some that are longer and some that are shorter, but really, it's an oval.
Yes.
And that's it. Meanwhile, in Formula One, every track design is different. That means that the cars have to be designed to handle straights and corners, not just like swoop around in a circle.
So the first race to kick off the World Grand Prix is in Tokyo. And
yeah, I don't know why we're in Tokyo when we just had so much Europe versus America banter and then we went to Japan.
Right. It was a culture shock for these Radiator Springs people.
Yes. And Mater got to go this time. And there was a whole thing where Mater never goes to races with Lightning McQueen because he's obviously a little embarrassed by him. But personally, I wouldn't want from Mater's first race to be one across international waters. I feel like he'd be much more at home at a NASCAR race.
Yes. Okay. Mater should have started just going to the American races, like in NASCAR. Or at the very least, started in England if he were to go overseas, because at least that's a little bit more understandable.
Yeah.
Because he has no culture, class, or ability to research.
No, or ability to read a room, which would have actually helped a lot.
Just any sort of social awareness was completely devoid. And so, also, he's such a freeloader. They were at a party, and Lightning McQueen mentions that the drinks are free, so he just gets tons and tons of free drinks and starts storing them in his tow truck.
Which, to be honest, I don't blame him. I just might have been a bit more subtle.
Right.
About,
I love free drinks, but I'm not going to take 50 of them at once.
In my open car.
And so he sees that the little Japanese server has green goop that looks like pistachio ice cream, but it's actually wasabi. Mater asks if it's free, and he says yes. He asks for the wasabi, and
Eats it pistachio ice cream.
And of course, freaked out and embarrassed McQueen, crazily running around. And then he goes to the bathroom where he finds...
A bidet.
I can't get over this whole thing.
It's not like a European bidet. It's a Japanese bidet.
Yes.
So he like, for cars. So it's basically like a mini car wash. And there's like a TV and like singing anime characters. And then he gets squirted from every direction. Which, for the record, I kind of understand Mater not to feed into the stereotype of Americans being complete idiots outside of America. But I went to a bathroom in London, and they had one of those bidets that are like hoses, and I was really confused because I'd never seen one of those before. I thought you just sat down and it did its business for you. So I picked it up and I was like, "What's this?" And then it squirted all over me, and I had to go out into this fancy ass restaurant.
Oh, no.
Stop.
Oh
wet.
No.
Oh, I guess what we forgot to mention is this is like a party for all of the cars competing. So Francesco is also there, and he gets told by Luigi that McQueen's girlfriend has a crush on him. And Francesco says that Francesco is familiar with this reaction to Francesco. Women appreciate a car with nothing to hide.
Yes, we couldn't agree more with Francesco.
Yeah, we totally agree. But it also speaks to the mechanical differences between Formula One cars and NASCARs. F1 cars are open wheel, open cockpit, open everything because they're honest. And NASCARs are trying to bootleg a whole bunch of alcohol. So they're closed wheel, closed cockpit mm-hmm. situations. And they have different engines and they... Also, they're all built the same. So, like, while Formula One cars have say in their design and structure, and that goes into their strategy, NASCAR cars are all pretty much made by Chevy, Toyota, or Ford.
Yes. And I guess there's a saying, win on Sunday, buy on Monday, because since these car brands are actually, like, pretty affordable for, like, everyday people, like people could actually buy like a similar to car to what's in the race. Whereas for F1, obviously you can't just like go buy a Ferrari on Monday.
You could try.
You could try, but you'd have to be a billionaire. Okay, yeah. So the first race in Japan does not go well because Mater is on like the team radio with Lightning, but of course, because Mater's very dumb, he gets distracted and he keeps talking into the radio, and Lightning is just doing crazy things because he's trying to interpret what Mater's saying.
And it doesn't go well. He got second place to Francesco.
Yes. And that kind of pauses their friendship because McQueen, first of all, he was really embarrassed at the party. And secondly, he's just really annoyed that he's getting so distracted, which is all due to Mater's lack of ability to assimilate into a new culture or like just have... It really is. He's like, ooh, karate. And he gets super distracted.
Yeah, but I think you're missing a large plot point is that he accidentally gets caught up in like world espionage and is completely unaware.
Right. Okay. There's a lot of spy stuff in this movie, which I just don't really find very compelling.
They just wanted to put an Aston Martin in, I think is really what it was.
And they wanted to make it more action-packed than the first Cars movie, which is a little slower and down to earth. Yes, but this one's crazy.
I know, they're appealing to the people who don't care about racing, but like, this is Cars 2.
Right.
It should be only about racing. But just to quickly recap, we met the Aston Martin at the beginning who was like intercepting some weird spy crap. He ran away because they saw him. And then he was at the Japanese sushi wasabi pistachio ice cream party and was trying to pick up some intelligence from an American car who got caught by all these ugly cars that are the bad guys. And so he pinned the secret intelligence under Mater, who was in the bathroom getting his ass cleaned. And so they found the track. And so this pink car, which is another British car that we are not introduced to, her and the Aston Martin think that Mater is extremely undercover and are thoroughly impressed because he's so stupid and dumb and sticks out like a sore thumb that he is very clearly a brilliant agent.
Yes. So there's a mix-up and Mater gets caught in the middle, and a little scene that I really liked is so the Aston Martin, his name is Finn McMissile. So when he meets Mater, he says, "Finn McMissile, British intelligence." And Mater says, "Toe Mater, average intelligence."
Basically, I think this plot point just serves to emphasize the vast difference between Europe and America.
Oh, yes.
Average intelligence. British intelligence.
Exactly.
So when the radio was being intercepted and Mater was saying weird crap on the radio, he was in the middle of a karate fight between the Aston Martin and all those ugly cars that are the bad guys. Because he thinks he's dating the pink car and doesn't know he's part of a spy situation.
Nevertheless, the point still stands that Mater is acting stupidly and Lightning isn't having it. And so he's just like, "I don't want your help anymore."
And so Mater tries to go home.
But he can't because he's intercepted by spies. Then we go to Paris. We see cars kissing on bridges. We also see, for some reason, because cars don't have hands. When cars have to do things, they use their wheels to kind of like nudge around, but they're not the same thing as hands. And so for some reason, this movie wanted to put in a mime car, even though hands are essential for miming.
Easily can be replaced with wheels.
So this mime car, it's just sliding around.
It gets the point across.
I don't understand what they were thinking. That's Paris.
It's basically just more spy crap. They meet with a informer who's a trivial car, and he gives them information. Information is that all the bad cars
are having a meeting.
And they're all the ugly cars. So Gremlin, Pacer, Hugo, and Trunco.
And they're called lemon cars because basically lemon cars are like cars that are substantially defected.
Crap.
Yeah, they're trash. But in this movie, they're like the mafia.
Yeah, they're rising up against their oppressors.
So the heads of all the lemon families are meeting in Italy soon.
Which conveniently is where the next race is.
And we meet Luigi's family Uncle Topolino, and they're all Fiats.
Yes, they're on somewhere in the Amalfi Coast, and everything, there's Fiats carved in all the mountains. I don't actually know where Fiat is based, but...
Their dinner is chugging olive oil, because they're cars. But I do believe that the olive oil in Italy is substantially better. So they say, how do they do it? These are the same ingredients as back home, but it tastes so different.
Except it's true. Everything in Italy tastes better.
Yes, it is. It's accurate.
Did you know... Fun fact, people who are gluten-free can usually eat the pasta in Italy because it's that much higher quality.
I did hear that once, and I believe it because it's very, like, homemade, pure ingredients.
Yes, and the flour, it's the ingredient, yeah.
It's like more so semolina, yeah.
Yeah, we prefer Italy.
Very much. Like, I really wish this movie just stopped in Italy. And then we just hung out with the Topolinos, all the Fiats, for the rest of the movie.
Agreed.
And actually, Uncle Topolino gives us a little bit more backstory to Luigi and Guido, because I guess they used to work at Topolino's tire shop in Italy and became best friends, except they used to fight all the time, but over, like, trivial things, like, which Ferrari is the best Ferrari? Which one of them looked more like a Ferrari, and even non-Ferrari fights?
Yeah, it was a very wholesome friendship. They covered everything. Which one looks more like neither of them? Yeah, like
one's a yellow Fiat, the other's a even smaller blue car.
Yes.
Yeah, it just made me think, like, I want to know more about their backstory and why in the world they would leave this wonderful village in Italy to live in Radiator Springs and manage a dying tire tower.
I agree. I feel like it was a terrible business decision, terrible personal decision on every front. They messed up.
They need to go back. And I need a spinoff with Luigi and Guido.
Also, Uncle Topolino gives Lightning McQueen a lecture that you're supposed to accept your friends for who they are no matter what, with which I firmly disagree.
Yes.
You should call your friends out if they're acting like an idiot in Europe or Japan or literally anywhere.
Yes. Like, I mean, you don't need to excommunicate them, but it's totally fine to call them out and to take a break.
I just think this is a two-way situation and someone should really sit Mater down and explain to him, don't just be yourself. You could really work on it and, like, be a little different.
Yes.
Being yourself is not the end-all be-all.
There's always room for improvement with anyone. So tell them what they need to do.
We sound like great friends.
Yes. Well, yeah. I can't handle Mater at this point. Like, in Cars 1, I was like, okay, he's cute because he was like, you're my best friend. But now it's just like, why is he a main character in this franchise? He was just best on the side as a tow truck.
Agreed. Too much Mater. Too much Mater in the wrong places.
Yep.
Anyway, moving the story along, Mater dresses up as a Russian truck, and he goes and intercepts the Lemon Mafia meeting where he finds out that they're shooting at all these sports cars during the races to kill them because screw the pretty cars.
Well,
which feels like a very negative uprising.
Yep. I think part of it is like a class thing where they don't like the pretty, like, luxury cars, but also it's because in this Grand Prix, all these races, they're using all-in-all, the biofuel, and they want to make biofuels look bad by shooting the cars and making it look like it's because of the fuel. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're sitting on the huge gas reserve, so they want the money.
Yes, they don't want any alternative fuels. They just want gas to be used. But also, the place where they race in Italy is called Porta Corsa, and it's basically like Monaco, but Italian. I mean, like, in terms of a Grand Prix.
They extracted the Monaco track and plopped it on the Amalfi Coast.
Yes. There's so many yachts, and they call it, they called Porta Corsa the playground for the wealthy. Everyone who's anyone is here, and it's for the ultra rich, super famous, and world leaders. And then we see
like the Pope.
We see the Pope Mobile. So anyways, the Lemons do successfully call into question all in all. And so then they think that it's not going to be used anymore. But then McQueen says, I'll still use it. And so then the Lemons put a hit on McQueen because he's the only one like kind of keeping All in All still alive.
And then Mater tries to warn him, but they get to Mater first because he wasn't able to stay a Russian truck forever. And he gets him and the Aston Martin and the pink car all get trapped
in the big Bentley. Which is a pun for the Big Ben clock tower in London.
They also renamed Tower Bridge Tire Bridge.
I love that. Also, the Queen is there. Queen Elizabeth is a Rolls Royce and she looks pretty blinged out. But yeah, so in the actual race in London, a lot's going on because this is where the Lemons want to kill McQueen. And so they strap a bomb to Mater. And Mater, knowing that he has a bomb on him, goes to find McQueen.
Oh no, he found out after he found McQueen.
Okay, well,
he went, told them the bomb was at the pit, and then they're like, "Ah, you're the bomb," and he's like, "Whoops!"
Yeah,
and then he's like, "Get away from me!" And then,
but then McQueen keeps saying, because Mater's like, "I'm the bomb, I'm the bomb, get away!" And then McQueen says, "Yeah, you are the bomb. I'll never take our friendship for granted again." And he keeps following Mater. And so the race, you know, isn't really happening because there's this whole side plot going. But the Queen, the Rolls Royce, is like, "Who's winning the race?" on her throne. She clearly doesn't have a good radio broadcast because the race is not really happening here.
But anyway, they land in front of the Queen because Mater's like, I'm going to accuse the guy responsible, who is Axelrod, which I predicted from the beginning. Just saying.
I think a lot of people knew that was going to happen.
All right, whatever, Hannah.
I mean, who else would it be?
The Queen!
Actually, that would have been much better.
Agreed. yeah, so he accuses Axelrod, and Axelrod, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. But then he has to say disable to disable the bomb so he doesn't die, and everyone knows it is him. And Mater is knighted. Literally impossible because he is American.
Yeah.
Or is it a hypothetical one?
A hypothetical knighting? I mean, yes.
No, what's the honorary? I meant
yeah, honorary. This whole movie is hypothetical, to be clear. But yes, I think it was honorary. So clearly Mater should have started out in England because this is where he's thriving instead of going to Tokyo and like embarrassing this entire nation.
And I'm really not a fan of the moral of this story is that an American should just be themselves in Europe.
Yes, that's the wrong message we need to be sending to our children.
Don't be yourselves in Europe or don't be American, whichever one is easier.
Just assimilate. Like if you're going somewhere new, learn about it and fit in. So then the movie ends in Radiator Springs because they're actually holding a Grand Prix there, but more for fun, not like as like really part of a tournament. Francesco is clearly a thirst trap because Sally, McQueen's girlfriend, and Flo, the gas station lady, they love Francesco's open wheels.
But they don't tell McQueen this, even though they're, like, lusting after these this open wheel situation. I'm confused. Is this, like, a guy walking out with his dick out? Like, how is this attractive?
I think the analogy might be kind of, like, three buttons off on a shirt. Like, you could see their chest versus all buttoned up. Because that's, like, covering too much and you look too uptight.
Stuffy.
Yeah. Like, it's like a hot...
Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, a hot Italian man with, like, a half-button shirt. I don't know why having... Okay, no, we don't need to go further on that.
Okay.
Alrighty.
That was the end of Cars 2.
Yep. We thoroughly enjoyed these movies.
Yes, and we personally got, it's very informative in terms of Formula One versus NASCAR, as was this podcast, I am sure. So,
well, next week we'll be going to Monaco to cover the Grand Prix there, and we're very excited.
Yes, and we've got some pre-show shows, including a trip down memory lane in Monaco. We're going to be cooking some Monegasque.
Follow us on Boxbox F1 Pod on Instagram and Twitter to follow along.
Boxbox.
Boxbox.